All right, there are two things that people are not talking about enough, and they both relate to the Epstein files, or rather, Donald Trump's cover-up of the Epstein files that has been going on for roughly 18 months now. Pam Bondi is gone, but we're not going to forget what Pam Bondi said on Fox News. The Epstein files were on her desk, and she had the list of names. Ever since then, this administration has been acting increasingly weird, and we even have reporting that Donald Trump called up Charlie Kirk, screamed at Charlie Kirk about the Epstein files. Then Charlie Kirk subsequently went on his show, and we have the clip right here. Charlie Kirk said, "I am done talking about the Epstein files. I'm going to trust this administration. I am done talking about them." A few months later, he was subsequently killed by Tyler Robinson, and I'm not really conspiratorial in that sense. I think it was pretty straightforward, but I think what we should be looking at is Donald Trump's recent clip of him signing this treaty, this memorandum of understanding in Versailles. And bear with me for 1 second, because if you look at the signature that Donald Trump uses on this memorandum, it is the exact same signature on the letter that was sent to Jeffrey Epstein for his 50th birthday that Donald Trump sued Rupert Murdoch for $10 billion over, and then the lawsuit got dropped almost immediately. Let me break this all down from beginning to end in a clear manner. If you appreciate these videos and you want to boost the truth, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. And I think it's worth mentioning that this treaty being signed in Versailles and then immediately failing to prevent another war from breaking out between the United States and Iran seems to be rather symbolic in a sense. The original Treaty of Versailles, signed at the end of World War I, did not prevent another war from breaking out, as it, you know, kind of left a lot of angst amongst Germany. In this one, however, the deal was immediately ruined by Israel continuing to escalate its strikes on Lebanon and then invade southern Lebanon even more, therefore breaking the very first clause of the memorandum. So Donald Trump traveled to Versailles near the G7 and signed this new agreement that he hoped would bring peace to an ongoing conflict. Now, you don't have to be a student of history to know that when the Treaty of Versailles was signed after World War I, it was supposed to secure peace in Europe long term, and it's widely remembered as sort of a diplomatic failure that did the exact opposite. Arnaud points out, unreal, the symbolism of Trump signing a surrender agreement at Versailles in which the U.S. agrees to pay massive reparations is just too perfect. I wouldn't be surprised if Macron weaponized Trump's complete ignorance of history and told him something like, "Mr. President, Versailles is where the most consequential deal of the 20th century was signed. Yours deserves the same stage." Either that, or Macron stumbled into the perfect historical parallel through sheer obliviousness, which, knowing him, is actually even more likely, says Arnaud. Now, I want to go back to Donald Trump signing this and show you its connection to the Epstein file saga. Here is an article that was released by the New York Times that highlights the absolute chaos going on in the administration after the Epstein file saga began. The timeline is Pam Bondi went live on Fox News and said, "I have the files on my desk." Then it kind of quieted down for a few months. Genuinely, she held this weird event where influencers came out, but people were quiet. Until Elon Musk tweeted out, in particular, "Time to drop the really big bomb," he said. "Time to drop the really big bomb. At real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That is the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT." That was on June 6, 2025, almost a year ago exactly. And it's worth pointing out, Elon Musk at the time notoriously had access to a bunch of government information. Whether it's our voting records or the Social Security Administration records, he had access to all of it. So Elon Musk comes out and reopens that case. Then the White House turns into an emergency chaos situation. They continue to go to the Situation Room week after week to try to figure out how to quell this ongoing drama. And let me just read this. At the time, Dan Bongino was still working there. Pam Bondi was still working there. Christine Ohm was still working there. This says, quote, "Blondie fucked this whole thing up," Bongino later told a confidant, echoing Loomer's derisive nickname for the Attorney General Pam Bondi. She was the one on TV saying over and over, "They had all this stuff. There was never anything. We were always clear about that, but now everyone thinks we did something wrong, and I gave up everything. Bongino complained that he had given up his high-rated show and millions of dollars, quote, and now it's all disappeared because people think we screwed something up with Epstein. Wow, sounds like he got his due. Dan Bongino lost. It was like a lose-lose situation for him. Bongino paused. This is going to be President Trump's Iran-Contra. On July 12th, the president took to Truth Social to defend Bondi against criticism to urge his boys and gals to stop wasting, quote, time and energy on Jeffrey Epstein, something that nobody cares about. I remember this post. It was really deranged, and it was like throwing his own supporters under the bus. Trump told aides he was very unhappy with some of his most influential supporters, including Charlie Kirk, Tucker Carlson, and Megyn Kelly, all of whom were publicly urging the administration to come clean. Kirk had held a Turning Point USA event the previous day that turned into an Epstein grievance fest, with one speaker after another bashing Bondi over her handling of the situation. Trump then called Charlie Kirk and scolded him. After that happened, Charlie Kirk went on his show and said the following.
Honestly, I'm done talking about Epstein for the time being. I'm going to trust my friends in the administration. I'm going to trust my friends in the government to do what needs to be done, solve it, balls in their hands. I've said plenty this last weekend. So if you guys want to see my commentary on it, that's fine.
Maybe you shouldn't be trusting your friends in the government and your friends in the administration, because that same FBI ended up honestly just botching the murder investigation of Charlie Kirk, announcing false suspects multiple times, and only getting a tip from the shooter's dad after the shooter confessed directly to his dad that he did the shooting. So the FBI shouldn't be trusted on anything. To continue, nobody in Trump's orbit had better feel for the younger part of the MAGA base than Charlie Kirk, this is true, who saw that the Epstein cover-up, as it was now viewed, was capturing attention to an alarming extent. Donald Trump Jr. and J.D. Vance, both of whom spent considerable time on X and were tapped into the same younger and hyper-online portion of the base, were also worried. They urged the White House to change course and force the Justice Department to release more of the files. This brings me on to Donald Trump signing this treaty in Versailles. I want to play this for you. As Donald Trump continues to sign it, just pay attention to his signature and understand that when Donald Trump flies to Versailles to sign what he thinks is a major diplomatic achievement and it ends up backfiring, the symbolism is basically just writing itself here. But Macron knows what he's doing. Marco Rubio also understands what's happening here. But I want you to look right here at this document that is the poem Donald Trump wrote to Jeffrey Epstein. You can see the last line right here. A pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday. Every day, maybe another wonderful secret. Donald J. Trump. What wonderful secrets were they hiding in 2003? It's not that hard to, you know, draw some conclusions here. But here is the signature where he just says Donald. And you can see the peaks in the way that he writes his name. This isn't some weird conspiracy shit. This is Donald Trump's lawsuit got shot down after he sued the Wall Street Journal, sued Dow Jones, and sued Rupert Murdoch for airing an article saying that they published an article saying Donald Trump signed this letter to Jeffrey Epstein in 2003 with the curvature of a woman with small breasts. Literally, look at that. And then you compare this to the signature of Donald Trump, you see the exact same peaks and valleys in it. Now, he writes the full name, Donald Trump, on the treaty that he signed in Versailles, but don't get it twisted. It is the exact same signature. Notice how odd Donald Trump's personal attorney, Todd Blanche, begins to act when he is questioned about the Epstein files. This was Donald Trump's personal attorney in his court cases in 2023 and 2024. His personal attorney became the deputy attorney general, and then when Pam Bondi left, he turned into the acting attorney general. This is him answering questions, or not answering questions, rather.
Thank you. You said this is the end of the Epstein, of your review of the Epstein files. So just to clarify, is the public going to learn the identities of the men who abused the girls with the information that you're releasing? And if not, why not? And then I have a quick follow-up.
I mean, you just baked in an assumption into your question that I have never said and I don't know to be true. Is the public going to learn about men that abuse these girls? Like, what does that mean? I mean, I don't understand what that means.
Well, I mean, they're the men who abused the young women through Epstein's through Epstein?
Look, we said in July, and it remains as true today as it was in July, if we had information, we meaning the Department of Justice, about men who abused women, we would prosecute them, right? We talked about the work that we're doing. That's why I said that. I said this earlier. There's this built-in assumption that somehow there's this hidden tranche of information of men that we know about that we're covering up or that we're choosing not to prosecute.
So there are just no other men involved in this entire scheme. Not only do I fail to believe that on a personal level, but we know that's not true. We know that there are multiple people listed within the Epstein files that sometimes had their names redacted, sometimes unredacted. Take a look at this segment.
To be unreleased. The Epstein files law provides only limited grounds for withholding information or redacting names. But for example, the DOJ redacted a photo of Steve Bannon. His face was blacked out, but the picture already exists online. The names of business contacts and acquaintances of Epstein appear to have been redacted without any obvious reason. And many emails have senders' or recipients' names redacted. The Epstein Files Transparency Act also requires the DOJ to justify every redaction in writing and to submit it to Congress. But the department has made no attempt to address specific redactions. Instead, it issued a general statement saying its redactions were consistent.
It's just so shady and sketchy all of the damn time. I'm going to leave it there, but I think it's very odd that Donald Trump had to call multiple Situation Room meetings, the same Situation Room where Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary sat and watched and celebrated after Osama bin Laden was killed. We now have Donald Trump hosting emergency meetings over the Epstein files and then shooting off phone calls to people in the Republican Party to try to make sure they're in line.
Honestly, I'm done talking about Epstein for the...
Wow, done talking about Epstein. I mean, the problem is Donald Trump did this with the entire Republican Party. He's essentially culling the Republican Party and shaping it into his own pro-pedophile party. If you take a stand against him, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're going to have death threats against you, and you're going to be pushed out of the party and then eventually leave. If you're like Lauren Boebert, he's going to try to make sure you are primaried. If you are somebody like Charlie Kirk, he'll call and scream at you. If your name is Thomas Massie, he'll primary you immediately. He doesn't want anybody criticizing him. Even if you're Rupert Murdoch, Donald Trump will sue you for $10 billion to try to create a chilling effect and then back down off of that lawsuit when he realizes that the signature is essentially the exact same on the Epstein document and everywhere else. I love you all. I will see you in the next video, and peace out.